This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Okay, yeah, good morning, everyone. Just like Kenny said, I'm Craig. I work for the church. For those new faces, me and my wife lead the students of the church. So, yeah, and we assist Henny and Baleen in whichever way we can.
Just wait for the ball to come in. Concentrate on your job.
You can turn it up a bit.
All South Africa need to do here is win possession from this scrum and get the ball off the field. Clock's in the red. De Klerk has it at the back. Power comes on from the All Blacks. Ball still on the field.
That's a move.
New Zealand looking for the steal here, right at the end of this test match. But it's over. It's over. It's a fourth Rugby World Cup for South Africa.
I thought I'd play the Rugby World Cup final in church. I thought it would be something fun to do. No, that is for the purposes that the Lord has asked me to play it. So we will revisit that at the end of the sermon. Okay. So you can keep that in mind. I just played it now so we could like start on quite a high note there. Okay. Okay, so Henny started a thing of walking with him. Walking with Jesus and how we walk it out and there's a sermon title. So it's a path of transformation, Jesus, the righteousness of God. But what Henny did was he had 9 points that he had put down for us. I will read them out. I think there's also a slide for that. So I'm just going to quickly read through the 9 points. We're not going to explain all the 9 points, but I'm just going to share what I'll be touching on today. Okay, so the first point was God's temple. We are God's temple. The Holy Spirit resides in us. We are God's temple. Submit every room to Him. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Live by the Word of God. The armor of God. Put on the armor of God. Put on the garment of praise. Cultivate right relationships. Cultivate right fellowship. And make Jesus central. So It was so interesting, and in preparing for the sermon, the crazy thing is, I'd asked Henny 2 weeks ago. I said the Lord had put a word on my heart, and then we didn't know that Baleen was going to be admitted to hospital this weekend, and then we had said that I would preach on this Sunday. So of God's grace and His goodness and His mercy, He knew and He planned ahead of time what was going to happen so that Henny and Baleen didn't have to worry about preparing for the sermon, which I thought was just amazing. When you see those things, you go, God, and you acknowledge that God's moving in it. So what I automatically, like, it sort of just like immediately happened to me was, if you take number 1 and number 9, God's temple and make Jesus central, I saw these two brackets. I saw these two brackets in what Henny was preaching, and it sort of like encompassed all of those things. And how important those two are, and how perfectly they were positioned in the sermon, just to show you that without those two in place that hold everything together, we're going to miss it. We're going to miss what Jesus is doing in our lives, and we're going to miss it for other people, because God wants to do stuff through your lives to benefit other people. We live for others. So you can jump onto the next slide. And that's just sort of how I sort of did it, right? Because God's temple is this outside, like this whole thing. But God's temple, in order to build God's temple, in order for us to be God's temple, we need to have the foundation right. We cannot build a temple on faulty ground or on our own foundations. We need to have Jesus central in the center, so everything comes from Christ, but then everything on the outside is also Christ. Right, so everything on the inside, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and so on and so on and so on, it all happens within us because of Jesus, because we are saturated with Jesus. We have the foundation of Jesus. We have the walls around us are Jesus. The foundation is Jesus. So no matter what we want to do, we need to have Jesus, right? Without Jesus, there's not right standing with God. Okay. So that's where we're going today with this sermon that I'm preaching about today is the right standing of God. What is the right standing of God? So righteousness, that is the exact meaning of to be in right standing with God. Okay, the media team is on it. I don't need to look back every time. I sort of like have to check over my shoulder just to make sure you guys are seeing what I want you to see. Okay. So in Genesis, Abraham was quite a chosen person. I think you would all agree with me. He was a very chosen character in this whole biblical story, right? Now, in this time, in Genesis 15, verse 6, I'm just going to read what I've got here for you guys, but I'm actually going to open my Bible and read just a bit of the chapter, just so you get context. I was just going to read this to sort of shorten things, but I want to get the context of it. How are we righteous? According to the Old Testament, how was somebody righteous? Okay, and this was a part of the covenant when God made a covenant with Abraham. And it says, after this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision saying, do not fear, Abram. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward. But Abram said, Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I am childless and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus? Abram said, since you have not given me any children, my heir is a servant born in my house. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, this man will not be your heir, but a son that is from your own body will be your heir. He brought him outside and said, look up towards heaven and count the stars, if you are able to count them. And he said to him, so will your descendants be. Abram believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. So very interesting. I don't know if you guys saw there, but Abraham had to go plant a few trees. He had to go look after some goats. He had to feed some sheep. He had to then sacrifice the sheep. He had to then, I don't know if you saw all of those works that were involved in him being righteous. No, I also didn't see it. I would be concerned if you did. No, it says that he believed. He believed the Lord, and it was counted as righteousness unto him. So in this context of the Old Testament, because we'll go into the New Testament and we'll just check it out, you know, we've got to check the old against the new and see whether we're being legalistic or, you know, if there's a few goats we need to sacrifice before we can be righteous. But no, it was because he believed. He believed that God said he would give him a son. And that was counted righteousness. And then I also had this moment of going like, even in this, I was like, okay, cool. So he believed in God. Okay. God counted it to him as righteousness. But I was still like, Lord, why Abraham? What made you choose Abraham? I don't know if any of you have ever thought of that. I'm going to quickly turn to the chapter. In my Bible, it's got another word other than what I actually put up for you guys. But we're going to Genesis 18, verse 19. For I have known him. I mean, can you imagine that? God saying, for I have known you. We'll get to another scripture later that's the opposite of this one, the scary one. But for I have known him. In other translations, it says, for I have chosen him. Okay? For I have chosen him in order that he may command his children and his household after him. Okay, so he commands them to be like him. Follow me, do as I do. And they keep the way of the Lord to do righteousness and justice, that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has spoken to him. So it's saying here that he chose Abraham because of the way he would bring up his children and bring up the household and lead the household. So righteousness plays a massive part in why God chose Abraham. Now let's just take a look at justice quickly here, because we see righteousness and justice. They sort of like, when you go into the word, there's so many places where these two words are almost inseparable. There's like this perfect relationship between righteousness and justice. So the biblical meaning of justice is the quality of doing what is right. Okay? The quality of doing what is right. Righteousness, in right standing with God. Justice, the quality of doing what is right. So when we are righteous, it doesn't mean that, okay, great, I'm righteous, now I can just go and do what I want. I can go and sin, I can go and do this. Oh, cool, I'm going to bring my children up knowing Jesus. But I'm not going to bring them up doing what Jesus did. I'm not going to tell them that's important. No. God is very, very precise in saying, and the amount of scriptures with righteousness and justice together, it's actually quite crazy. With righteousness, it's mentioned 580 times in the Bible. Faith is mentioned 340 times. It's quite something, eh? So righteousness is something very, very, very important. So righteousness was counted to Abraham. Why? Because he believed. Okay, so that's the Old Testament, right? The Old Testament speaks about Abraham, righteousness, justice. All the parents, you heard that, right? Got to bring your children up in a righteous manner. They have to know Jesus. You have to bring your children up knowing Jesus. Who are your children? People who don't have children? It's the people you disciple. Doesn't mean that you don't have children now. That doesn't apply to you. It does apply to you. We all disciple people. We all have people in our lives. So train them up in righteousness. And train them up in a way that you teach them how to be, how to act, how to do things right. Because you teach them how to do from a place of knowing God. You teach them how to be righteous from being with God, being in Christ. Okay, so we're going to jump on to the New Testament, just to see what the New Testament says. I love to do the comparisons, just to see where we're at from old to new. What has changed? Is there anything that's changed? Should we do this? Shouldn't we do this? What's the law? What's not the law? That type of thing. So we're going to go to Romans 3, verse 21 to 24. But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law. Jesus fulfilled the law, fulfilled every part of the law, and the prophets. Jesus fulfilled all the prophecies. He fulfilled over 340 prophecies, which is not even possible, but it's possible for God. Even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ, to all and on all who believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and all fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ. So in according to the New Testament, according to the Old Testament, it was Abraham's faith, belief, believing in God. In the New Testament, what has changed? Do we have to go plant orchards? Do we have to go jump up and down? Do we have to go carry people from one place to another place? No. Through faith in Jesus Christ. That's where we get righteousness. Righteousness is something that is given to us. Right? We've spoken last year. We spoke about a lot of things to do with your heart. Before the works. We can't be doing works and thinking that we're going to achieve God's kingdom here because we're doing works. We have to do it from the right place. And it starts with Jesus. It starts being with Jesus. So if we look in context of what we're talking about, this walking out Jesus, we have to seek him, right? I'm going to jump onto the next verse. It's 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21. For he made in him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Right? Not separate from him, not by ourselves. In him. So what this verse is truly saying is that Jesus Christ is the righteousness of God. But we have to partner with him. We have to get in it with Jesus. And that is where we become righteous. Not because of what we have done, but because of what he's done. And because of who he is. So, I said earlier that I was going to go from the one place, very positive, to a very, very hard understanding of something. And if we know now that Jesus Christ is the righteousness of God, right? We are only righteous through him. Jesus Christ is the righteousness of God. Now I want to take us to a piece of scripture that we all know very well. And there's a part that I'm sure we sort of fly by. We just sort of fly by it. But it's actually probably the most important part of this verse. The most important part of the chapter. And it's talking about the birds and the God feeds the birds. He gives them everything. He clothes the lilies of the field. Why are you worrying? Why would you have anxiety? So I'm not going to read the whole verse. Most of us know it, I hope. But it's Matthew 6. Verse 33, it says this. It says, but seek first the kingdom of God and what? And his righteousness through what we've just read now. What is his righteousness? Jesus is his righteousness. Seek first the kingdom of God and the king. Not just the kingdom. Because what happens when you seek only the kingdom? What's happening? I'm going to take the Bible here. I'm going to show this to this person over here. I'm going to go, oh, cool. I'm going to sing a beautiful song for people. I'm going to run. 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 Don't have time for Jesus, though, but I've got time for the things of Jesus. So we have to read this piece of scripture in knowing we are seeking his kingdom and we are seeking him. If we are not seeking him, we are not in right standing with God. Okay. But it gets worse. And I think Kenny shared this one the other day, and I was just like, "Ooh, this is exactly what it is." It's Matthew 7, verse 21 to 23. It says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Your kingdom come, your will be done. You see, there's always, with Jesus' teachings, there's always the kingdom and the king. Because we cannot do his will if we do not align ourselves with him. Otherwise, it's just let your kingdom come. Great. He doesn't want that. He wants us to partner with him in his kingdom and for his kingdom. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not carried Bibles in your name to other people and said prayers over people and cast out devils and healed the sick? I'm just going to read that properly because I don't want to add to scripture. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. That's what happens when we don't seek the king. That's what happens when we seek the kingdom. When we make it about self. When we seek a king without the king, guess what we're doing? What did Satan do? He wanted to come up here and take the throne of God. When we seek the king without the king, that's what we're doing. So in this Christian walk that we're doing, we've got to seek the king. We have to look for Jesus. And it's interesting, it says, I never knew you. Okay? And what does it say earlier in Genesis? God said, I know Abraham. I know him. Because why? He believed me. He believed in me. So we need to have faith in Jesus. We have to trust what Jesus says is what Jesus says. We have to do what Jesus tells us to do. We can only do what Jesus tells us to do when we follow him closely. He says, my sheep, hear my voice. Be close. Be close to Jesus so you can hear his voice. So that one day, you are not faced with this. Because there's many beautiful works. There's lots of works. But without Jesus, those works are dead. Revelations 2, verse 18. I do have that here. Verse 8 says, but the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Do you know what that is attributed to? That is attributed to something I'm just going to mention now, but it's a whole sermon of itself. It's unrighteousness. And all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone. It's crazy because here you see there's no difference between the sins. Sin remains sin. It doesn't matter what sin it is. I mean, I could stand here and I can tell you, a liar is not as bad as a murderer. It's not the way God sees it. There's a clear, definitive line between being righteous and being unrighteous. And this is being unrighteous. So I think what I'm trying to get across with this message today, I was like, Lord, why must I speak about righteousness? And I was talking to Henny earlier. I was like, you know, if I tell you guys, no, there's nothing you can do about it, righteousness is given to you because you have faith in Jesus. Why am I talking about it? Because it is important. It is important to understand as we walk as Christians. We might not get all the teachings at one time, but to understand piece by piece by piece, that we can piece it all together. And then this next slide is something that I've put together. There's arrows in between. You just might not be able to see it on the screen. And I'm not lying, telling you the truth. I want you to know, for all purposes, this diagram was made by me to sort of give context to what I'm teaching today. So there is different parts where there will be obedience in different areas. There'll be different paths within that. But this, for me, was a path to transformation. Why? Because when we are righteous, when we become righteous, right? We are in right standing with God. So what will happen when you are in right standing with God when you came from the world? You've come from the world, but now you've come this side and you're like, now I'm in righteousness. You will stop doing the things that you used to do naturally. It won't have to be a work. So I'm unrighteous, but now I'm going to work my way to God. Doesn't work like that, no. No, you have faith in Jesus. He makes you righteous. So in this map over here, you have faith in Jesus. What happens after you have faith in Jesus? There's salvation that happens, right? And within salvation, some of these things happen instantaneously. So this first part that I'm talking about is very spirit. It's on a spirit level. If you guys need to understand the definitions of spirit, body, and soul, we did it last year. There's a 2-3-part thing on spirit, body, and soul. Okay? But faith, okay, the product of faith is salvation. When we come to salvation, there's something that happens, and again, it's this marrying. The two things happen together. It's justification, and we are made righteous. Okay? Not because of what we've done, but because of what he did. Because of what Jesus did for us. Right? Then that happens in the spirit. Your spirit now starts to transform. It changes from what it was. Because why? We get the Holy Spirit that comes to live inside of us. The Holy Spirit comes to reside inside of us. And what happens from there? Transformation needs to happen from there. It needs to happen from your spirit, from the Holy Spirit inside of you. But it happens after you have the Holy Spirit that makes you righteous, that makes you clean, that makes you a clean whiteboard. Now, it doesn't mean that your mind is clean. It doesn't mean that your emotions are all of a sudden perfect. It means that there starts to come this place where your will and the Father's will starts to align within sanctification. But that sanctification happens afterwards, and it's a process, as we've been describing. So here I've just put it as a starting point of the sanctification is a starting point of the process. But what happens once we come to that point is obedience, right? We start to be obedient to God. And then what happens after we are obedient to God? You hear what God says to you, and then what? You do what God has said. So it's a natural. The walking out is a natural walking out because we hear his voice, because we are busy being sanctified, because we have been made righteous, because he's justified us, and because we are busy getting sanctified. This obedience comes in and we go, Lord, I want to. And then there's righteousness that comes again after the obedience because it points back to righteousness. Because why? You are doing what Christ does. You are in line with Jesus, so you do what Jesus does. So that is more or less what I wanted to speak about today. It's about righteousness and how important righteousness is. And it will, righteousness, being righteous, will have a massive impact and effect on your life. And if it doesn't, and if you don't see change, and if you don't see something transforming, you need to start taking that to God. If you don't see transformation in your life, for instance, when I first got saved, I used to swear like a trooper. I think that's how they say it, right? Every second word that came out of my mouth was a foul word. And there was no word that was too foul for my mouth. Okay? 2 months after I had gotten saved, I was having a conversation with somebody. And I stood there and it just like smacked me in my face. And I was like, my whole conversation I just had with this person without trying, without me going, I need to watch my language. I realized my swearing had stopped just like that. Every single word stopped. Why? Because I was looking to Jesus. Because Jesus started to transform me, started transforming everything about me. But that's thanks to what Jesus did. So coming back to why I played rugby this morning for you guys. And how does that have any relation to righteousness? Well, technically it doesn't. It's just an illustration I thought I would make for you guys. In how does righteousness work? It's kind of like us sitting here. Did you see how hard those guys worked? Did you see them pushing? Did you check them? Like, 1 point. They were struggling. They were going. They were everything. All their practice, all of the time, they put in. We never put in. But guess what we say to one another? Are we the champions? We are the champions. We are the ones that won. It's not what we did. We did nothing. We did absolutely nothing. But we are now identified as the champions of the world. Eh? And that is much like it is with Christ. We do nothing. It's not us. It's Jesus. Jesus is the one that does it. Yeah? We believe in our team. There we go. That's what we did. We believed in our team. Thank you. Giannis added the ending there. I want you guys to just take a moment to reflect. Reflect on moments where you feel like you've partnered with sin. We were talking about it earlier. The action that you do is not the sin, but the partnering with the thought before you do the sin, the action is the sin. Because you actually started to partner with the enemy at that moment. So don't take this time now to look for the actions you've done. Maybe see the actions that you've done and trace the action back to the thought process that happened in that moment. Because if we are righteous people, we have to repent. We have to ask forgiveness for our sins, and we have to hand it over to Jesus. So I want you guys now, Sinead is going to just play some keys, I think, in a minute or two. And just take your time now to give it to Jesus, to repent, to lay it down. Jesus has grace for you all. His mercies are new every day. God made him who had sinned to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God.
For listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.